Our first reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. It's in your pew Bible, in the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, on page 649. Hear these words. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and His glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. If you'd like to follow along, it's in the New Testament on page 181 in the Pew Bibles. Hear now the words of the Apostle Paul. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given to me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words. A reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of His power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for the ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that He has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in Him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
But to the Epiphany. Let us turn to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's always a great thing at this time of year because you get to go to page 1 of the New Testament. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, on this Sunday, I'm going to kind of shift gears. And I have a question for you folks. How many of you stayed up on New Year's Eve till the New Year came in? Honestly, did you? Okay. Well, I guarantee that our Tongan brothers and sisters did. And I know that the Ghanaian folks did as well. They had services that started on New Year's Eve, forgive me, and went well past midnight. Well, I didn't. I think I made it to 10:30, and my wife and my 15-year-old son beat me by a mile. I'm no good if I stay up all night. I'm not any use to anybody. And quite frankly, there have been a lot of years that I stayed up all night to watch the new year. But I got these really cool glasses, and I don't know if you can see them from where you are, but they have the numerals 2009. And I'm thinking of wearing them around the church for quite a while. But anyway, I got these glasses because I wanted to do an experiment, because I knew full well I wouldn't be up to see the ball drop in Times Square. And so what I did was I put on these glasses on December 31st, 2008, and I looked around at the world. And then the next morning, on January 1st, 2009, I again put on these glasses, and I looked around the world, and it didn't look very much different. And I didn't feel very different. But maybe I was wrong. On this day, so new in this new year, I want you to think about two concepts that have to do with how we see, and that is perception and response. How do you perceive the world around you? And then perhaps more importantly, how do you respond to the world around you? Perception and response. I want you to give that a little more thought. Now, many of us here, I might go so far as to say all of us here this morning, profess to be followers, disciples, students of Jesus Christ. We probably all claim the identity as Christians. And I'm wondering if our identity as Christian colors the way we view the world and also how we respond to the world. There are some cynics who might argue that Christians see the world through rose-colored glasses. You may have heard that expression. You may have also heard the expression that you see things like Pollyanna. And both of these mean the same thing, and they get around to the idea that Christians maybe see the world in a positive, maybe overly optimistic way. Maybe because we know that we are sinners forgiven of our sins, that we have been blessed by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, that because of all that, we have an unusually sunny disposition to the world. Perhaps. You know, some people might accuse Christians of seeing the world through glasses that have rear view mirrors. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I know cyclists know this. Sometimes on their glasses, they'll put a little rear-view mirror. It works pretty well. But I'm wondering if Christians sometimes don't have those glasses with the rear-view mirror and they turn that mirror so it shines right back on themselves so they can look at themselves all the time. I wonder if some Christians don't spend an inordinate amount of time focusing on their prosperity, on their salvation, on their wealth. Maybe they don't focus on the rest of the world at all. John Wesley, I believe, looked at the world through binoculars. Because I think that John Wesley wanted to get the big picture. Wesley wanted to see up close what was going on in other people's lives. Wesley wanted to look to see if there was something that was going on in their lives about which he might make a difference. Wesley wanted to see if he could make the world a better place. Well, when you get down to that, you start thinking about your own perception, I hope. And you might come to the realization that how we see the world is not so much determined by what's in front of our eyes, but rather what's behind our eyes. That the way we see the world is pretty much the way we think the world is. That we perceive what we think. And I think it's probably fair to say that every one of us here today has a different view of the world. We have a unique world view that all of the combination of our life experiences and our knowledge and our education decides how we see the world. Well, I wonder if there are some common things about us that allow us to see the world in common ways, in similar ways. I wonder what it would be like to see the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ. I wonder what that worldview would be like. Well, that's crazy, you might say. I don't think so. I think we can get a pretty good understanding of how Jesus saw the world by reading and studying the Bible. I think we can understand, perhaps, a little bit about how Jesus perceived His world. And I think if you consider that, you recognize that Jesus knew that the kingdom of God was already here, and yet it was on its way as well. Maybe Jesus saw the world through kingdom glasses. Now, Jesus looked around. He saw the Roman Empire. He saw the leaders of the Jewish faith with the strictures that both of those put on people. He looked around and saw people who were hungry and poor and desperate and some without hope. But Jesus knew that He could make a difference. By that worldview of the kingdom, by using those kingdom glasses, by walking the kingdom path, Jesus knew that He was offering people eternal life. And my friends, today, right here and right now, Jesus Christ offers all of us eternal life. When you think about that perception, we come to the understanding that Christ can change the way we view the world, truly and completely. How many of you made a resolution to be different in this year? Any of you? Any of you brave enough to admit it? Well, a lot of folks on New Year's Day make resolutions. They want to be a different person. They want to change something about themselves. They want to become somebody else. Well, I believe that you can be different. And as I think about my experiment with these kooky glasses, I realize I may have been a little hasty in my conclusion. Because I believe that the view from New Year's Day is very different from the view of December 31st, 2008. And I believe that I am a different person in 2009 than I was last year. And I believe that if we take on the kingdom view of Jesus Christ, not only is it possible, but it's a guarantee. If you walk the kingdom path with Jesus, you will see the world differently today than you saw it yesterday. If you have Jesus with you, you will be a different person today than you were yesterday. My brothers and sisters, with Jesus Christ at our side, there is new hope and new grace and new life forevermore. Amen.